just money. It's not just about money. I'm not talking about just about money. I'm talking about maybe you just need some love. Amen? Maybe you need some attention. Maybe you need some friends. Whatever a man sows, that he's going to reap. Maybe you just need somebody to come alongside you and just gird you up. Whatever you need, sow it. Amen? Sow it. Be a friend to somebody. Love somebody that just needs love. You stretch yourself. Step out. Amen? Okay, today, title of my message is Faith Through Love. Faith through love. Hallelujah. Because I know that God wants us to walk by faith. Amen. It's impossible to please God unless we walk by faith. So I want to talk to you about faith through love today. And we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3. Stand with me and we'll read the word. Hallelujah. It is called the greatest gift. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time of your word, I pray, Lord, that you would show us how to love. Father, that we know, Lord, we are loved by you. You have sent your son Jesus to give us life and life more abundantly. And I pray that the abundance of that life would be filled with love, Father. That, Lord, we would learn to love you and love each other like never before. That, Lord, that today you would challenge us and stretch the bounds of our love, Father God. Lord, like never before, that, Lord, it'd be far-reaching and it'd be never-ending, Father. We thank you, Father, for your time and your presence here today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I've been sharing with you in this series of launch about faith. I talked to you about faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. I talked about faith without works is dead faith. And I talked to you last week about faith through trials. And how many of you are going through trials? We need faith, amen? We need to walk by faith. So while I was reading my word, just doing my daily devotions this week, I came across this scripture in 1 Corinthians about love. And as I read it this week, the Lord just showed me what the root of our faith needs to be. What do you think the root of our faith needs to be? Love. Love. You're right. There it is on the screen. It's love. That is the root of our faith. It's built on the foundation of love. Because it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ came because he what? Loved. Amen. So that is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of everything that God does because God is love. Amen. You guys are good. All right. You're wide awake today. So from these verses in Corinthians 1, 13, it sounds like you can be a very gifted person, but because you're not filled with the love of God, it amounts to nothing. You know, and I've met people that are very gifted but not very loving. And I didn't care how, I don't care. I would tell you this. I tell this to everybody I ever teach on how to use the gifts of the Spirit. I've taught here, I've taught around the world, and I say this. If you don't have love, don't use the gifts. You give Jesus a bad name. When you're stepping out and you're prophesying, then you're mean to people. Doesn't fly around here. I don't like that. I tell you, I'd rather you not have the gift than not have the love. Amen. So if you're mean-spirited, if you have a hard time loving people, don't use the gifts. Amen. It's really simple. Just keep your mouth shut. Because if you don't have love, it's not going to matter in the end anyways. When we stand before God. So it doesn't matter how much you can do unless you love. You could speak in tongues. You could prophesy. You could move mountains. You could feed the poor. You can even be a martyr. But if you don't have love, it amounts to nothing. And I think a lot of people are going to have a real eye-opener when they stand before the Lord. Because they did great things here on this earth, what seemed to be great things. Because their love bucket wasn't very full, it's going to look like they didn't do much of anything. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 to explain it even deeper. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. He says, "Beloved, let us love who? One another." Look at your neighbor and say, "Love you."
Love you.
Love you. "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Amen. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son for the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." Amen. So number one, we need to love one another. Now, who are we to love? How many of you think that's everybody? How many of you are not sure? How many of you won't raise your hand over anything? We're to love one another. You know, when you read about when it says love your neighbor, you know, the question comes up, if you got to ask who your neighbor is, you're already missing it. You've already got an issue with love. If you have to ask, surely, who your neighbor is, I mean, I know it's Abe right now, but, you know, if you got to ask who's my neighbor, then you already have a problem with loving people. See, so when it says love one another, man, it's whoever I come in contact with, I need to love, amen? That's how I look at it, because God doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't pick and choose. He didn't say, "Oh, I'll love Delanda, but I'm not going to love Jacinta." He didn't say that. He just said, "God so loved who?" And who's the world? Us. God so loved people that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we've got to love one another, because love, number two, love is of God. Now here's number three. You are born of God if you love. If you love, you're born of God. If you don't love, what would that mean? Let's just say you're not born of God. That's not a good thing, Margaret says. Because if we don't love, then I would question, are we born again? Because it says, you are born of God if you love. So if I don't love, am I born again? Because God is what? And we are to do what? You guys are doing good today. Hallelujah. And number four, you're born of God if you know God. If you know him, you're born of him. If you're born of him, you know him. Amen? And you know him, and you start knowing his attributes, his character traits, the way he wants to do things. You start just lining it up with him, like, I'm born of God. You know, I mean, I thank God for my mother and father on earth, but I thank God that I'm born again. Amen? I didn't have to climb back in my mother's womb. She told her friends were making fun of my big head one day, and I went to my mom was there, and I went to my mom for some defensive help, you know. I said, "Mom, I said, you know, they're making fun of my big head," and she says, "Well, you should have birthed that thing." And I'm like, "Mom, you're not helping me." My mom had big babies. My sister was 11'2". We had one that was 10'4". I was 9'6". You know, that petite little woman, she had big babies. And she's like, woo. But I thank God that I got born again. That I was born again in Christ. And that I know God now. I don't just know about him. Many people in this world know about God. Many people, the world has a thought about what a Christian should look like. Because the world will judge you according to how you act if you profess you're a Christian. They'll say, well, how can you be a Christian and do these things? How can you be a Christian and talk like that? How can you be a Christian and do that? The world will judge you because everybody has an idea about knowing God. But when we're born of God, we know God, amen? And then number five, if you don't love, you don't know God. Now, all I'm reading to you right now is what it says in 1 John chapter 4. That's all I'm reading. That's all I'm telling you. I'm telling you what the scripture says right now. If you don't love, you don't know God. Now, I wonder how God's going to work it out with us. Because what if there's just that one person you don't love? How many of you got that one person in your life that's a challenge, huh? I can remember, man, we had this one person in the church that was a challenge for me. I thought, this lady needs to go. You know, this is when I was younger, you know, and I thought, wow, we just need to get rid of her because she was so mean. And she had a mean streak in her, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'd cringe every time, you know, and she'd be flipping off the pastor, you know, and she'd be cussing at a visitor. I mean, she was just mean. I'd be like, oh my gosh. I thought, you know what? She needs to go. We just need to excommunicate her from the church. I thought that would be a right thing. I mean, she was really mean, Maggie. And you know, I don't like mean, man. I'm like, that's the thing on my staff. If you're mean, you got to go. You don't have to leave the church, but you got to get off my staff. I don't like mean. I can't handle mean. So I prayed about it. I thought, I'm going to go to the deacons. And I think they'll all agree with me, we need to kick her out. And you know what? They probably would have. And then, so as I'm praying about it, the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, how do you know that she's not here for your benefit? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not the mean one here. Why is that got to be about me? And the Lord said, how do you know I'm not using her to perfect love in you? You know, that lady has not attended this church for years, but she's still Delonda's good friend. She still comes over. She still calls all the time. She's still in our life. God has not given up on me yet. Hallelujah. He's still perfecting me, but he will. He'll bring people into your life to perfect the love of God inside of you. But what do? We kick them out. My flesh wanted to kick that lady out. And everybody's flesh would have been right behind me saying, yeah, Pat, go, go. But man, the love of God, though, needs to compel us to learn to love through it. Because can you imagine, Rick, if the Lord kicked us out? Because we didn't have it down? I mean, even in my worst, I still came to church. Even in all the sin that I was doing, man, I was raised, you still go to church. I sat in the back row. That way I could get out before it got too hot. You know, before the Spirit could fall on me and I find myself down here, I thought, oh no, I'm out the door when the pastor said, bow your heads. I know that game. Then one day somebody sat me down front and I said, oh man, the Spirit's, he got me too, man. He just fell on me like a ton of bricks. See, but when we reject what God's wanting to do in us, when we fight against it, that's when we get hard. That's when we don't learn what God wants to do in us. Because he wants us to love. Can I hear an amen? And number six, God is love. And because God is love, he manifested it towards us. And how did he manifest it towards us? Jesus. I'll give you the answer. Jesus. He manifested his love towards us in Jesus. It's based on his love and not how good we have been. Amen? Because if it was based on how good we have been, none of us would probably be here today. That's one of my favorite scriptures in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Him, even knowing the things that we would do, he still died for us so that we would have that opportunity for life. Amen. Now, God's love is unconditional. Loves no matter what. When it says, for God so loved the world, the word love there is agapeo. A-G-A-P-A-O. Agapeo. It's unconditional love. It's love by choice. Everybody say choice. And by an act of the will. The word denotes unconquerable benevolence and undefeatable goodwill. Agapeo will never seek anything but the highest good for fellow mankind. Can you imagine if we lived that way? That we never seek anything but the highest good for fellow mankind? Can you imagine if the body of Christ began to live like that? To look out for the highest good for our brothers and sisters in the Lord? To look for the best? To be benevolent? Unconditionally benevolent? That we let it flow? Unconquerably benevolent? That it just flows through us? Can you imagine if the church lived like that? What would happen? We're calling out for revival. If we would just do this, revival would happen. Because people would run to the church. They would run because everybody wants to be loved. Agapeo is the verb, and agape is the noun, are the words for God's unconditional love. It does not need chemistry, an affinity, or a feeling. It is a verb, meaning that there's action involved. Amen? And this is how God loves us. So when he is asking us to love one another, he's asking us to use the word in John 3:16 that shows how he loves us. He's asking us to love each other that way, unconditionally. Listen, it's not about feeling. It's about a choice. It's about a surrender of our will to his will. It's not about, oh, I love you because you're kind to me. It's I love you because I love you with the love of God. I love you even though you hate me. I love you even though you don't care what happens to me. I love you and I want the best for you. That's what he's calling the church to be. Is that we start really stepping out in this love. He's asking us to love each other like that. So when we don't love like this, what are we saying to the world? When we don't love like that, what are we telling the world? If we just go back to what it said in 1 John, we don't know God. That's what we're saying. Well, I don't know God. Because we haven't learned how to love unconditionally. We haven't learned how to love by choice. To make the decision, I'm going to love. I'm going to be a loving person. We say, well, I don't know how to love. Well, I'll give you just a real good tip. Stop seeking your own. Just stop seeking. I told you a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever, if you want to have a great marriage, stop being self-centered. That's the number one key in marriage, I think. Stop being self-centered. Prefer the other above yourself. In your marriage, and you're gonna do great. Prefer the others above you, and you'll do great. So stop being self-centered. If you want to learn how to love, stop thinking of yourself all the time first. Think of somebody else first. When you think of somebody else first, then the love's going to pour through you. Because you're not seeking your own. Love does not seek its own. Amen? Paul told the Romans, he said this in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says, put on Christ. He said in verse 11, And this was our daily Bible reading this week. I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. It says, and do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. It's time, church, that as the body of Christ, we wake up to God's plan of things, amen? Because salvation is nearer than you think. The coming of the Lord is closer. He's saying, knowing the time that it's high time we wake up out of sleep. Salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We need to know, listen, we're either going to go there or he's going to come here. Something's going to happen, amen? Now, we don't know when we're going to go there. We don't know when that trumpet's going to sound, when he's going to come for his bride. You don't know the day or the hour, but I do know this. Whether he comes here first or we go there is going to happen, amen? Something's going to happen in your life. James says our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and it vanishes away. Our life is a spot on the dot of infinity, amen? And we have this, you know, it's allotted to a man for 70 years, 80 if they're a good one. Hallelujah. Some of you have been really good. Praise God. But life is here and it's gone. And we need to take advantage of what we have right now. And the evidence that we receive the love of God and believe on Jesus is in the fact that we love others and that we trust God with our lives. We love and we trust. There should be a record of love and trust in our lives. There should be I know there's a record in heaven, but you know, we should have a record of how we love God and we trust him, amen? There should be evidence that we're doing that in our lives. And as I said to you back when we first started all this, you need to trust that God has a plan that is perfect for your life, amen? God has a perfect plan for your life, and if you're not in that perfect plan, you need to repent and get on track with what he has for you, amen? Because you know what God's plan is for your life. You know he has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So if you're not in line with that, get in line, amen? That's all I can tell you. Get in line with it. You say, well, I don't know what God's plan. Let me just tell you right now. His plan right now for you is that you love one another. His plan, amen, is that we walk with him. That's his will. And in everything you do out of walking with him is the evidence of you walking with him. It's the evidence. How do you know God? Through love. There's the evidence. And so you don't have to worry about, well, does God want me to work here? Does God want me to work here? Does God want me to do this? Does God? Who cares about all that? Who cares where you work? Love God where you work. Love God where you're at. Amen. If you're called to the ministry, God will make it evident to you. If you're fighting, well, should I do ministry? God will make it evident to you. God will show you the way if you just fall in love with Jesus. He will lead you. What does it say? Psalms 23. He leads us beside the still waters. Amen. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us. But I have to connect with him. I've got to be in love with Jesus. Amen. So trust that he has a plan. And then number two, you need to trust that God wants to speak into your life. God is talking. God is talking. And he's just like, who's listening? Who's listening? You need to listen, amen? And number three, you need to trust that you can hear from heaven. You can hear from heaven. You need to trust that you hear from heaven. Whether you're hearing out of the word of God, or you're hearing somebody speak to you, or you're hearing that small, still voice, you need to trust that you hear from heaven. And when your small, still voice does not line up with this, cast it down. But you need to know that here, and then number four, or letter D, you need to trust the prophets. This is a prophetic word to you. You need to trust this. And then when the prophetic word comes forward, Valerie, that was a prophetic word to you. You need to get it, play it, listen to it, and pray through it. Trust the prophets. When you trust the prophets, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, it says, you will prosper when you trust the prophets. And that word prosper means you'll break out from where you're at. It means you'll experience breakthrough. And I believe it's breakthrough out of our own selves and into the things of God, into the promises of God. That's what will break through. When we step in, when God speaks to us prophetically, we need to align ourselves. Amen. As long as it lines up with this. When somebody said to me, I'm praying about sending Ron and Delonda to China, I didn't go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? You know what I did? I went home and I bought tickets to China. I didn't sit around and pray about it. I just said, Delonda, I'm going to buy us a couple of tickets. We're leaving in 2 weeks. We're going for 2 weeks. I act upon what God tells me. I don't want to sit still. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to move forward with God's word for my life. Amen. When God has been speaking to me. I had this guy call me on the phone. He wanted to hear about Pakistan this week. Because he's been involved in ministry on Pakistan. He's been doing Skype calls and in the Pakistan. And he wanted to talk to somebody that's been there. And somebody said, you need to call this guy. So he called me and I talked to him. And he started prophesying to me over the phone about what God's purpose is for my life. And he said, yes, God's called you to be a pastor in a local church, but God's called you to be an apostle to the nations. And that's exactly the word John Harkey gave me, and that's exactly the word Pastor Halverson of Bethel gave me. Everything's just lining up with what God has said. He's called me to pastor the local church, but to expand it to the nations, amen? And that's what God is doing. People are giving the money so that we can go and do what God's called us to do. God makes a way, and when you listen to the prophetic word and you trust God at it, he'll take you there, amen? And then number 5 or letter E, you need to trust the word of God. Man, I read this thing, I get so amped up when I read because I'm like, oh, this is so good. I got so amped up just studying for this message today because the goodness of God is in it. The love of God is on it. Just take it and receive it today. And as we trust God in what he's saying and we step out in faith and do what he's telling us, it takes faith. It takes faith to step out into God's plan. You know, because sometimes when you're stepping into God's plan, you're letting go of your plan. My sister Maggie here, it was prophesied to her to step out in faith. Maggie was our children's pastor. She got a paycheck every week. I haven't asked her how she's doing without that now because she... Rick, yeah, you got Rick, all right. But she did. She stepped out in faith. She goes, I got to take this step. I said, amen. And I'm behind it wholeheartedly, what God is calling her into. And I want to help her. And Delonda, when Delonda got a hold of us, she said, man, you come and speak to our women tomorrow night on the Love Cup. We went to her book release. We went to that. And Delonda's like, well, I'll give you your first gig. I'll give you your first speaking engagement. You come to New Hope and speak to our ladies, amen. And that's going to happen tomorrow night. This is prophetic. Vision being fulfilled in front of your face. It's happening. But you have to trust. You've got to let go of some things to get into where God wants you to be. But that's the hard thing. You've got to let go. If it's not of God, if it's not godly, let it go. If it doesn't line up here, let it go. Step into what he's calling you to, amen? I wrote this out because I believe that there's a perpetual motion that God wants to create inside of us. So as we receive God's love, Jesus, into our lives, we step out in faith and we trust him. We begin to trust him at his word and what it says. We begin to do works that are evidence of our faith. We're not torn about through trials, but we grow through trials because we're sure of God's love for us. We love others because we know that God, through, we know God through his love. We step out in faith and trust him. We trust him at his word. We do works that are evident of our faith. We are not torn about through trials, but we grow. We love others because we know God. We step out in faith and trust him. We trust him at his word. See, it's a perpetual motion. As we start stepping out into the things of God and trusting in faith and love of God, that it creates a motion in us. And the Lord showed me the wheels of Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1. There's a wheel within a wheel, and the wheel has eyes on it. The inner wheel has eyes. And the Lord said, even though the wheel may stop, the inside wheel keeps spinning. Even though you may be standing still, the perpetual motion of love will move through you constantly because it's going. And I believe that those eyes represent the things that God wants to show us. He wants, even though you may feel like I'm standing, I don't have any feeling of love, but I'm making a decision I'm going to love. That perpetual motion inside of you, that I trust him. I step out in faith in it. I trust him at his word. I do works that are evident of faith. And I'm not torn about through trials, but I grow through trials. And we love others because he first loved us. You see that perpetual motion inside of us. And the eyes on the wheel of Ezekiel 1, it causes us to see better and more clearly on how to love. On how love can be made evident through our lives. But we have to start. We have to get that wheel going. It's just like, you know, remember there was a fad with the spinners on the wheels. You know, you pull up to a light and you look at that SUV next to you and the inside of that wheel's just spinning away because they had them spinners on it. Remember those? I hardly see them anymore at all. But the spinner's going, that's how the love perpetual wants, God wants to work inside of us. That it's constantly going, even though we may not feel anything. It's not based on feeling. It's a choice. It's a surrender of our will to love, even in the midst of trials, to love when people are against us, to love when people are speaking about you, to love when people don't like you, to love no matter what. You're just, you got this perpetual motion. I can't help myself. I just got to love them. See, but if we don't ever get that wheel of spinning, it makes it hard. Whew. I need a drink after that. It's perpetual. God just showed me, man, that wheel within a wheel and the eyes, God just showing us how to be loving, how to love through it. But if you don't get that motion going in your life, you won't produce. You know, when we start prophesying, we'll start producing godly fruit because we're doing it out of love, amen. When we start speaking to mountains and the mountains are moved, it's going to be out of the love because we're not self-promoting, amen. When we feed the poor out of love and compassion for their lives and their souls, we're going to win them to Jesus, amen. Food in one hand and the gospel in the other, we're going to win them to Jesus because we love them. Love is the foundation of our faith. Because of the love of God in us, it causes us to be obedient to him. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We keep his commandments. We do things his way. See, when I got this perpetual motion of love inside of me, love towards people, man, I'm living a godly life because I'm not looking to be disobedient because I'm filled with the love of God. And it's not burdensome. It's not hard. It's not hard to love people because, I'm moving forward. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God and his word. I'm moving forward, amen. I'm letting go of those things that are behind and I'm pressing into the kingdom of God, his way of doing things, his way of being right. And it's incredible what God does. And then you get into Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10, and it says, for the commandments, everybody say commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the power. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Think about it. Look at your neighbor. Love does no harm to our neighbor. It says love fulfills the law. And this is incredible in the sense that God loves us, and therefore he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And Christ came, listen, Christ came to fulfill the law, not do away with it, amen. Christ came in love, for God so loved the world that Jesus did not do away with the law, but he fulfilled the law unto obedience because he loved the Father and he was not willing to disobey. Jesus was so full of love that he was obedient unto death for us to the glory of the Father. It's incredible when you look at this, how much love God has for us and how much love he wants to pour through us. Like I said, it's like the wheel within the wheel, the eyes. It's just perpetual motion in our lives that God wants to do in us. It gets to the point where you say, I shall not commit adultery. I shall not murder. I shall not steal. I shall not bear false witness. I shall not covet. I shall love my neighbor as myself. Love does no harm to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You start thinking, you get a mentality. I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to go out with my wife. I don't want to have anything to do with any other woman but my wife. You got that ingrained in your heart and your soul because of love, the love of God that's in you and the love that he gives you for your spouse. Amen. It just flows and you're looking at your neighbor and your neighbor may be just a horrible monster, but you're thinking, how can I love this guy? Because I don't want to covet anything. I don't want the things of this world. I want to love. And when our mentality changes, it's amazing what God will do. I don't have to focus on getting even. I don't even have to focus on not committing these sins. I don't have to focus on not committing adultery. I don't have to focus on not committing murder. I don't have to focus on not stealing or bearing false witness or covering. I don't have to focus on this. I'm focused on Jesus. And therefore, because I'm focused on Jesus, the love of God is in me. So I'm not focusing. I'm not trying to control myself. Myself is controlled because I'm focused on Jesus. You know, when I quit smoking and drinking, I didn't focus on what I couldn't have. I focused on who I did have. I focused on Jesus. And then everything else just fell away. It was gone. And I didn't look back, and I'm not looking back, and I'm never going to look back. I'm focused on Jesus, amen? We have to run in such a way that we love God. We have to run in such a way that God's love moves through us. Joseph ran a race. He was one of the heroes to me in the Bible. He was with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife said, hey, why don't you come lie with me? Joseph said this in Genesis 39:9. He said, there's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he, Potiphar, kept anything back from me but you, because you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, his focus was God. What's your focus? What are you focused on? If love is the foundation of our faith, how much faith do you have? It'll be measured by the amount of love you have. Because when we love God, your faith will just be incredible. It'll soar. When you love people, it'll be evident by the people around you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, even as we read the definition of what your love is towards us, the agapeo love, Lord, it's unconditional. Lord, it's a choice. It's not about chemistry or a feeling. It's an act of our will. I pray for every one of us, Father God, that, Lord, that we would choose to love unconditionally in our lives the way that you've loved us. Lord, that we'd make love a choice and not just a feeling. Because, Lord, we don't always feel it. But with the wheel, within the wheel, Lord, that perpetual motion of living by faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, that love will abound. And I pray today, Father God, that you give each one of us strength. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've been challenged by this, not only by this word, but there's been some challenging times in my life of loving people. And I want to step out of that, and I want to step into that love of God today. If that's you today, you say that and you're honest with yourself, just stand to your feet right now, please, because I want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Come on. Praise you, Father. Lord, you know us, and you know what's going on in our lives. And I pray right now for these men and women standing, Father God, that, Lord, that your grace would just come down like rain and fill them overflowing. Lord, that the love of God would fill our lives, Father, to the place that, Lord, we walk with the knowledge of who you are in our lives. That, Lord, that we can love the unlovable like never before. And, Father, that you just give us new strength. Lord, we cast down old ways of thinking and old ways of doing things. And, Lord, we seek a revival of your loving kindness in our lives today. In Jesus' name. Why don't we all stand? Father, as we go our way today, I pray, Lord, for the love of God to just go with us.